This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts right now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Having some fun kicking it along the way with you guys, the suspects. We talk sports and other things. Some of you people get a little bit bent out of shape when we don't talk sports 24-7.
Yeah, I still saw get that one those text. Messages. I just deleted it. Ba-ba. You didn't even need to mention it.
They
20 minutes in and you guys haven't talked about sports. Yeah, welcome to the Usual Suspects. We've been here for 3 years, and nothing's changed. So
stay tuned for the third hour, where we talk nonstop about
sex.
The breakdown of the Warriors and the Rockets and the rematch of the G League from 3 years ago.
John Westling and I were having a back and forth on Twitter about stick to sports guy.
Yeah.
The guy that when we talk politics will either call in or tweet us or text us and tell us to stick to sports. Like, right. We're not allowed to comment on American politics because we're not in America. So, which is amazing to me that a guy that either, and I don't know what these people do. They could drive a truck. They could be an accountant. But what makes you more qualified to talk politics because you're an accountant than me that does sports talk radio? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But we had that back and forth. But we were, whenever we get that, you guys haven't talked sports, that, trust me, there's 3 hours. We'll talk plenty of sports. Just hang around or go away. It's your choice.
It reminds me of that story that came out on Deadspin, because Deadspin has not been the same since the lawsuit of Hulk Hogan and the sex tape.
Right.
And there was this guy, the editor, that got fired for not, quote unquote, sticking to sports.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Steven Usyk wrote a great article on SportsMap. I highly recommend you go and check it out. But he talked about Deadspin and how it was the beginning of the end, because the mandate came out from Deadspin to all of their writers to stick to sports. And Deadspin wasn't necessarily known. I didn't go there for sports.
No.
It was funny articles and stuff.
Sure.
And really, you go there for the comments.
Yeah, and they're just in a bad situation because Deadspin has been sold twice since that lawsuit, and they haven't been the same. They have not been able to weather the storm. Kind of like Barstool does way worse stuff than Deadspin does now, but they can get away with it because they haven't suffered a lawsuit that's put them out of business, I guess. Or not put them out of business, but it sucks. The interesting thing, though, is that Barry Pachesky, I can't pronounce his last name. I think it's Pachesky. His Twitter handle, at Barry. You should be mad.
Oh, yeah, that pisses me off.
How do you get that Twitter handle?
You got to be early.
B-A-R-R-Y. You know. The mandate comes out from Deadspin's ownership, the GO group or whatever, and they say stick to sports. So the editor decides that every article on Deadspin for that day comes out is not about sports, but the caption or whatever says stick to sports, and the picture has stick to sports on it. So he's basically saying kiss my ass.
Right.
All right. So the editor gets fired. And they're like, nope, sorry, pal. You just disrespected us. We gave you a mandate. Editor gets fired, and every writer quits because of it. And so now they've just got a bunch of flunkies and guys that couldn't get the jobs before Deadspin now trying to fill in and write articles. And I'm sure some of them are talented people, but if they were that talented, they would have already been there.
Right.
But, there's a whole revolt going on, and it could be the beginning of the end for them. And it's a pretty interesting article on SportsMap.
And they've been hurting for a while. Like you said, I think the first sale was when they started to go down. But, yeah, it's definitely not anywhere close to what it used to be. And you're right. You used to go there to be entertained and find out some dirt or some gossip or a story that you might not have heard about that you're like, man, that's pretty interesting. But, definitely different now. So stick to sports guy can just – I can tell you where to put the stick, but we'll move on from that. How about that?
Somebody said, Barry, you mentioned that book to help you stick with creativity, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. The daily writing helped me, and it helped free up my mind. Because they also have this thing called artist dates, where they tell you once a month or once a week you have to do something creative. It doesn't have to be like, you don't go to, what's that? What's those school classes where you drink wine and paint?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. It could be like the example she gives is like, take $5, go to a Five and Dime. I'm like, listen, toots. If we're going to say Five and Dime, I get to say toots. Okay. No one says Five and Dime anymore.
Tell her to stick to crafts.
Right. Well, that's what I was like, Five and Dime. What do we, but she says, do something like that. So I was like, I'm
cool
maybe
when you got
that.
A kid is that you can be creative because of the fact that for school projects or things like that, that they'll, Taylor will say, "Daddy, I need to bring this or that." One time they did, it's like a gingerbread man cutout,
uh-huh.
and it says, "Put all the ethnic groups that are associated with your family background somewhere on the gingerbread man with Taylor's face." So I drew her face,
mm-hmm.
and then had all the different flags of the different countries.
Oh, that's
that,
cool.
Yeah, and you do things like that, and you're like, you know what? Halloween, how you carve the pumpkin or right. things like that. You can do things like that, but yeah, not sitting there and going to like a Michael's or Hobby Lobby. And I'm going to, first of all, $5 is going to get you a Sharpie at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, it's expensive.
But yeah.
Screw those athletes that get, this is in regards to load management. Screw those athletes. We just enable these guys and wonder why they're the way they are. I work 2 full-time jobs. They play a game. Screw them. I imagine that that's most people. I imagine that a lot of people think, you know what? These are millionaires. Mm-hmm. They play a game. They're paid handsomely for it. I'm out here working 2 jobs, 3 jobs. I'm trying to, you know, load management. What is it? It's almost like you said, it's a slap in the face when you go to watch your favorite athlete. But when you're out here busting your ass every day and you want to go home and watch a basketball game and you want to watch your favorite athlete play and they're getting hand over fist way more money than you.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Well, bitch, we're all tired.
You worked all day. You want to have that tall boy in a brown paper bag.
Absolutely.
And you want to go watch Bucks Clippers tonight, and you're looking forward to it because it's going to make you forget about the day you've had and all the problems. And all of a sudden you find out, nope, due to load management, Kawhi's taking this one
2 weeks into the season.
Right. And this is his second time already he's done it. And the other thing is, like I told you, in traveling with these guys, it's gotten worse than even when I was in the NBA. And that is that they get a per diem every day, which is a large, good piece of change, but yet they still get their breakfast buffet paid for and provided to the team. After the game, they get food, and then on the plane, they get food, and they have dietitians that make sure everything they're eating is healthy and great for your body, and then they have people doing sleep studies and making sure, like, if it's more conducive to being more energized to stay overnight on the West Coast and fly back the next day. You get an extra night in a hotel, and then you fly back where you're fresh. All this stuff. Private planes. All these guys back in the day, when you're talking about Jordan and those guys, they flied commercial. When I talked to Mikhail about days when the Celtics were going like at a 5 a.m. wake-up call to travel commercial on Continental to get to another city, and if there was a weather delay, sometimes they would land, take the bus from the airport right to the arena, and they would send the ball boys up to buy as many hot dogs and things so they could have some food in their system before they went and played a game.
It's crazy.
Now it's like they're feeding you on the plane, on the bus, in the locker room, after the game.
You don't have to pay for it. It's all there. It's all cooked by a chef.
Your per diem goes to like big-time card games on the plane.
Ridiculous.
And yet they're going to miss games for load management. And by the way, the load manager is making 6 figures. Because it's that important. That's the new millennial NBA.
That's
the vice president of whatever you call him that's in charge of load management, I guarantee you, is making high 6 figures and maybe more.
Craziness.
That's a travesty.
So some big dates coming up. I'm switching to baseball.
Okay.
Some big dates coming up.
Yes.
Rookie of the Year gets announced November 11th.
Yes, you're done.
Yes. Manager of the Year announced November 12th. Cy Young, November 13, and MVP, November 14. So just sticking with the AL, I'll give you the finalists, and then you tell me, you predict who you think is going to win.
Sure.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with managers. AL managers of the year,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone of the Yanks, mm-hmm. Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, and Kevin Cash of the Rays.
I hate saying this, but I'm going to give it to Aaron Boone and the Yankees because of all the injuries they've overcome.
Okay. No love to what Rocco Baldelli did.
No, he did a great job.
He did a great job.
And Kevin Cash was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I just think because of the fact that regardless of how big your payroll was, when you look at all the guys that were out for the Yankees for significant portions of time, every time they picked and plugged a guy in from the minors, and every time he set his lineups, he had guys that had either first time in Major League Baseball or whatever, and he had everybody playing great, and the numbers were fantastic, and they kept winning games, and I give him credit for that.
Okay. I don't think the Rays, I mean, they did well when you consider payroll and the team and everything else. And they had, you know, they won 96 games. But the fact that the Twins won 101.
It's impressive.
And you probably couldn't name more than three Twins.
You set the all-time record for home runs in a season.
Yeah, and you beat the Indians and you beat them handily in the division.
We could name three Twins, by the way, but the rest right. of the world.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could still, with all the Yankees that were on the IL, you could probably still name at least three Yankees or more that were really good players that were around, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I just, to me, what the Twins did this year, pretty outstanding.
I'm not taking anything away from him or the Twins, but I'm telling you, especially when we start talking about votes,
yep.
I'm telling you the Yankees guy's going to win.
Okay. So the that was on the 12th. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Rookie of the Year gets announced on November 11th. Mm-hmm. That is between, where'd it go? Yordan Alvarez.
Stop there.
Yeah. Where the hell did it go?
Everybody else got injured finals. That was in it late in the season.
Huh?
Tampa
Brandon,
got hurt.
Brandon Lowe and John Means. You don't even know who that is, huh?
No. Do you?
Exactly. No, I think he went like 500, John Means did, for the Orioles. He's a starting pitcher. He was 12-11 this year.
Congratulations.
And Brandon Lowe, obviously, with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it Lowe or Lowe? Because people go back and forth.
I thought it was Lowe. I could be wrong. But, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer that Yordan Alvarez wins that one for sure. So then that's the first two. Cy Young, November 13th.
Because we have had this running back and forth all year. Why would I stop now? This. Garrett Cole.
Yeah, man, I...
If you didn't know, I had Cole, Barry had Verlander before the season started.
I hate to say it, but you're probably going to be right. Actually, I didn't have Verlander before the season started.
You didn't?
No, this is halfway through the season when we brought it up. And I was like, well, my
pick... I had Cole from before the season started.
Yeah, but I said my pick's probably not going to make it. So we were talking about between those two.
Okay.
But I'm with you. It's probably going to be Garrett Cole.
Wow, because that's going to be... That's the toss-up of all toss-ups.
And then finally, MVP is between Mike Trout, Alex Bregman, and Marcus Semien.
So it's between Mike Trout and Alex Bregman.
Correct.
I mean, obviously, I'll play Homer here. But Trout could win it every year. But based on his team's performance and the amount of games he missed, I'm going to say Alex Bregman.
I'm going to say Alex Bregman as well, but I'm not for the same reason, just for the simple fact that he played all year.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout, your value is when you're on the field.
But I said games missed.
Okay. But you said more of, I thought you made another point.
I said games missed and the fact, I mean, obviously he's going to be in it every year.
Oh, I see. Just cover all the bases. Leave me nothing.
I said games missed and his team's record was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. All you just didn't give me any points to make out there.
Baseball, Barry, you got to make sure all the bases are covered.
Okay.
You're welcome. Anything else you got? You going to cover the National League too?
No.
Okay,
no one
good.
Cares.
You know what I'm going to cover? Infuse Energy. If you're looking for a new energy company or you're just not happy with the energy company that you have, I'm telling you should switch to Infuse. I switched to Infuse Energy 3 years ago. Boy, am I happy I did. Saved thousands off of my previous energy provider. I've hooked up lots of the suspects as well. They can do the same thing for you because they take the time to ask you questions. They ask when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it for your business or your family? And they get it all broken down until they can get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Best news about Infuse Energy is in most cases, they can beat any other rate out there. In the times that they can't, they're going to tell you who can beat their prices because they want to be like a trusted friend. They want to be honest and above board. So maybe you don't go with them this time, but you'll go back to them because you know you like the way they do business. It's just a fantastic company. You can check them out at infuseenergy.com and find out what they're all about. But like I said, give them a call. 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. Right off the top, your first bill, you get a $25 credit, and they go from there. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And oh, by the way, they have a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. Take my word when I tell you, infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.
Hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit down and think about myself, and then there she was.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through the first half of the show. It's Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a way back Wednesday. If you missed it, the theme, obviously, songs pre-2009. title or artist starting with MVP for Deshaun Watson. Had to have a minimum of two for each letter. That was it. I had hour number one. You have hour number two?
Yes, this is my hour.
Nick, as always, bringing up the rear as hour number three, just the way he likes it.
Whoa.
Take that. I don't know about that. Sleepy, talking about how much sleep you got last night. Pain in the ass. Clarence wants to get in here on the top. We were talking about last segment, that of the Cy Young competition.
What the hell?
Oh, my God. Clarence, we didn't say karaoke, Clarence.
Oh, no, you didn't. Just on hold singing, Clarence?
Yeah, I mean, that was my jam back in the day.
You smell sex and candy.
I'm so glad I potted him up early.
Clarence, we know you smell candy. Did you smell the sex, really?
If you smell a sex daddy, that means it's really bad.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. You want to talk Cy Young? What's up, buddy?
All right, guys. Here's a question I'm going to throw at y'all. The World Series has been over when they announced all these for almost about a month. And we're talking about regular season awards. And I know baseball wants to stay relevant and everything. But how much do you think the World Series plays into who's going to win Cy Young between Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander?
Zero.
Justin Verlander.
Let me stop you, Clarence. The voting is done before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
So why did they wait so long to announce the winners? What's going on with that?
That's just the way they do it. They like to have something to talk about in the offseason before the hot stove league starts and before free agency or during free agency. So because baseball's free agency is a lot slower. Usually you won't see a lot happen until winter meetings. So this gives them something kind of in between to take a little bit of shine from football after the World Series.
But Clarence, you just answered it yourself. Just go back and look at the NBA a year ago. The NBA ended in June, and then based on free agency, the draft, Summer League, when they were able to promote Zion, all the different, the schedule release, they were relevant the entire offseason. That's what every league is after, trying to stay relevant when your teams aren't playing games.
Yeah, that's true.
All right,
go back to karaoke day with Clarence.
Did you isolate him singing?
I can if you want.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that was pretty good.
Pretty awful.
Pretty.
It was like, by the way, did we ever do the Wichita Gilbert?
No, that was your guy, no.
We never did
that. We never did. We should do that today.
We got to do the Wichita Gilbert. So we all know if you listen to The Bench in the Mornings with John and Lance, that John, in this market for years now, Gilbert has called John Granato. He's like a son to John, really.
Okay. Okay. If you listen to me. All right. Don't. Okay. Okay. I got to go now. Okay. Okay. Bye.
Don't. I don't want you to get
the promo's fantastic.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
How am I getting in trouble?
So I was in Wichita and I was waiting to do their drive time show, which is weird. Their FM ESPN affiliate is also 97.5. But they were like,
Stephen A. Smith appreciates that.
The guy was like, hey, can you stick around and do a segment with our guys at 420? You know, I let them get through the first segment and then go. I was like, yeah, no problem. So I'm sitting in the eating area waiting, listening to the show. And this guy calls. Sounds exactly like Gilbert. I was like, oh, my God, Gilbert's in Wichita. So at some point, maybe we'll do it at 245. I want to play you guys the Wichita Gilbert. And you tell me if he sounds exactly the same. Now, next segment. We've also got a treat coming up because a couple days ago, was it Monday?
Yep.
We were talking a little bit about swingers and swinging and
the politician.
Yeah.
The Katie Hill or
whatever
resign.
Her name was. Yeah. And they were swingers and it came up. And Nick mentioned that his boy's a swinger.
Yeah. Waz is like the only guy that I can actually call a friend. He's more like a drinking buddy, but.
And he's good with dudes having sex with his wife.
Let's let him talk. Let's let him clarify. He has a justification for swinging that I think is very interesting.
Really?
He words it a lot better than
Waz,
I
was. Because I don't know anything about swinging. The last time I was swinging was in junior high on the playground, and that was it. So I don't know about.
You were still swinging in junior high?
Yeah, maybe I should say elementary.
They held you back?
Sixth grade. Shut up. It's me and Gilbert.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Anyways, swing on the left is mine. Anyways.
So, coming up after this break, Waz is going to join us. And you have verified this now, Nicholas.
Yeah, I've met.
Said, all right, Barry can... He might ask you some things that is going to make it uncomfortable. Are you okay with this? And he said yes.
Yeah, he's cool with that.
There's nothing off limits.
I don't think it's going to make him uncomfortable.
I can ask him anything I want to ask him. Anything.
I'm pretty sure you can ask him anything.
He's a big dude, Barry.
Huh?
Nick said he's a big dude.
I did say he was a big dude.
You could ask anything, but you also may pay the price for it.
What do you mean by big? Have you already swung? Like, you're talking about his package, or are you just talking about tall?
Is the wife hot, Nick?
I didn't. Yeah. See his wife. I didn't comment on his wife. I've never met his wife.
You will, I'm sure.
Would he be upset? Well, we'll ask him. Would he be upset if you said his wife was hot? I doubt it.
I don't
think
he would.
If they swing?
I don't think he would.
Okay.
He might invite you over.
You guys want to hear Clarence sing, by the way?
Yes! Yeah.
Pain in the ass. Clarence wants to get in here on the top. We were talking about last segment. That of the Cy Young competition.
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
That's outstanding. Clarence, you got to be careful, buddy.
Clarence.
Oh, my God. And on that note, the first half of the show is in the books. That means that we still got 90 minutes to go. We're going to step away for a quick break, and Waz is going to join us next as we open up the second half. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 is jamming out over here to my right is Barry Laminack.
Yes.
With his DLR Van Halen.
What?
DLR Van Halen.
The real
Sammy Hagar.
Not that watered down equate version of Van Halen with Sammy Hagar.
Like
just a real ass. No.
Yep, I like them both.
No, well, you have terrible taste in Van Halen.
Well, you just have terrible taste, period.
All right.
Forever 21. So, as we get going with the second half of the show, I got an injury. I got a medical exemption. I got shorts on today. Yep.
Walking in the video studio with Joel in a suit jacket wearing shorts was the funniest thing ever, by the way.
You don't need to be giving up my secrets, Nicholas.
It's not really a secret.
You got to take a picture of it. Next time?
I should have.
Snap a photo.
I've told you forever.
Twitter, here you come.
You would be surprised how many announcers in Major League Baseball, when they're on camera, do shirt, tie, jacket, shorts.
Yep.
That's why jorts came out, right, basically?
No, like the suit jorts? Jean shorts. Those jorts
well, the suit, yeah, you're right. The suit, what is those called? The suit pants that are shorts?
Sants?
I don't know. Whatever.
Right. Heel wears them.
Let's get to this, because this is a topic that I've been wanting to discuss with somebody of this persuasion for a very long time. So joining us on the program, in fact, Nicholas, I'll let you introduce him.
So he's a drinking buddy of mine that I frequent with at a particular bar. Mm-hmm. And
now, is this a swinging bar?
It is not.
Okay, it's just a regular ass bar.
It's a regular bar. And he's literally the one person I know that's actually had a conversation with me about swinging. So I would feel much more comfortable letting Waz
do the talking,
give you his take, and more importantly, his justification for swinging first. Then you both can have a field day.
I have other questions before we get to that. So is Waz on the line now? Waz, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. I got you.
Hello, Waz. How are you?
Waz up!
I'm very good. That's a good talk. I've never had that before.
Wow. I love it. Right from the start.
All right. What do you guys want to know?
All right, Waz. Now, first of all, how did the conversation, because Nicholas said you guys are drinking buddies and that swinging came up. How was that a topic that just came up between drinking buddies?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I can't answer that question. I know that Nick brought it up in relation to, I think, a conversation he'd had or he'd heard someone say something. And then I mentioned, well, three of my last probably four or five relationships have involved that stuff. And it took him back a little bit. But then I sort of I gave a bit of an explanation in relation to how my life evolved that way.
And we just chatted for a bit. Good half hour, 45 minutes.
Okay, so three of your last four relationships have been relationships in which you guys, would I say swung? Or what's the...
Yeah, so what you got to understand is swinging is an umbrella term. There's a whole spectrum of what people like doing, want to do, are happy to do with, are comfortable with, all that sort of thing. So there's all different levels of it. Sometimes partners will go out by themselves and stay out for the night and come home, and that's all okay. My personal level was we only ever did stuff with each other, like when the other person were there. But some couples do full swaps, but they stay in the same rooms. There's all different types of swingers out there.
Where do cuckolds come into this? Is that part of the umbrella?
Yeah, absolutely. So some couples, and this is the category I was falling into, some couples will invite other people in. And it's not all the time. We only probably did three or four times a year, but we would invite other people in. But it was only ever with each other. We never did anything separately.
But does it involve both of you, or is it just like you're okay with her?
That's just whatever the couple's comfortable with.
Okay.
So it really is. You sit down, you have a conversation with your partner in relation to what level of comfort you each have. Our rule was we can do anything we like, as long as the other person doesn't get hurt. Now, all three
emotionally
of my,
or physically?
Emotionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So physically, so,
to give it a bit of a background, how I got into it. You know, just as I've grown up and evolved and started questioning some of the social conditionings that exist in society, I got to the point where I was questioning not only religion and stuff, but also, you know, monogamy, and, you know, is that something that I truly believe in, or is that something that I've just been told is the right thing to do? To break it down as logically as I can, I started thinking, well, I go get massages from people, so I'll get just a normal massage, not anything sexual. I'll go get a massage from someone, and it feels really good physically, but I don't fall in love with the massage therapist. So I recognize there's a separation between physical and emotional. When I put that to the side, I start thinking about what I like doing sexually, and I like, try and put this in a way that's radio okay. There's certain things I like doing in the bedroom, and if I get to do both of those things at the same time, because there's two women there, then, you know, that's got to feel better for me. Surely that's something that's a level of pleasure that's above and beyond what I can do with one woman. So accepting that, I then moved on to the fact that I'm with someone that I love unconditionally, and if I love that person unconditionally, surely I shouldn't be limiting their pleasure by saying you can only be with me. Like if my woman likes giving oral sex and then she also likes having normal sex, surely doing both of those things at the same time would be more pleasurable. So why would I want to put limitations on her and the amount of pleasure that she can receive if I actually do love her unconditionally? So we have open conversations for, you know, X amount of time. We work out each other's limits and boundaries and what everyone's comfortable with, and then we move forward with it. If at any point in time someone becomes uncomfortable, that relationship is open and honest enough that you get feedback and you adjust, and it's just a dynamic process, if you understand what I'm saying.
So how does this come up in conversation when you first meet a woman? Who, I mean, are you usually the one that brings it up first, or have they been the one that brings it up first? Because that would seem like a risky proposition, no pun intended, where you're like, hey, I'm into swinging, and then the person you're with may not be. They may be a traditional one man, one woman, monogamous relationship, and you run the risk of running off somebody you could be in love with or attracted to. How do you approach that conversation?
I think you approach it in the same way that you approach any traditional relationship. You have conversations and you sort of find out what the person likes sexually. I would suggest that happens in almost every relationship, where you sort of got to find out what your interests are, what their interests are. And it's all about being open and honest and withholding judgment. So, and also watching pornography as well. You know, it can come up pretty easily in conversation when you click on a video that involves something like that. And, you know, the typical question is, oh, you like this sort of stuff. Have you ever done this sort of stuff? So it's just, I think it's part of a healthy relationship discussing sexual desires, sexual fantasies, all that sort of stuff. The relationship I'm in right now is not an open relationship at all. And I'm okay with that. That's not something that I need. It's just something that I'm okay with. So
I don't want to interrupt and take this off on a different tangent, but you just said you work in porn?
No. I said sometimes when you're like in a healthy or sometimes in a healthy relationship, couples will watch pornography together.
Okay. I thought for a second you said you worked in porn. I was like, bro, you're like living every man's dream. You're over here swinging and having multiple chicks and you're in porn. Okay, that's a different. Yeah. I mean, you're but still
if
living.
If I brought that up in conversation and said, hey, this is something I've done in the past. I've had relationships that are somewhat open. And the person that I say that to turns around and judges me for it or, you know, isn't okay with that, then, you know, that's sort of the end of the relationship because you can't have judgment in a relationship. Everyone's done things in their past, and everyone, if I'm just being honest and open with who I am, and that's not something that she's okay with, then, you know, that's not the person for me, and that's okay.
So different than a fetish, this is not something that you were born with. A lot of people say, well, I was born with this fetish or this, you know, this that I really like. You're basically saying this is something that just evolved over time as you evolved and matured as a person?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've always gone through life questioning the things that I've been taught, the social conditioning, all that sort of stuff, and it didn't make sense to me. Monogamy doesn't make sense to me. So the rule that I live by is everyone can do whatever they want as long as no one else gets hurt. If it's going to hurt the person that I'm with to introduce someone else into the relationship, then I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to leave the relationship, depending on, you know, the situation. But it's just it's a set of guidelines that I guess I've come up with and have been dynamic and evolved as I've started questioning the things that I've been told throughout my life.
I got to be honest with you. I'm very disappointed at how mature this has all been so far. I was really hoping that this would just turn into a free-for-all. Again, no pun intended. One of the things that I would worry about or wonder about if you were swinging, right, is you get out, you're at a bar and you tell your, because you said that sometimes it's like, hey, I'm gonna go out for the night and get some strange and I'll be back in the morning, and that's cool, right? Like everybody's okay with that.
Well, that's okay for some people's relationships. That wasn't okay in mine. But our rules were always we can't do anything without the other person there.
Gotcha.
But I definitely know couples that do that.
Okay.
So they'll have a regular, like every second Friday. They'll each go out separately. They'll stay out for the night, and then they'll come home the next day, and everything's okay. Those were outside the bounds of what I was okay with.
Gotcha. Now, do you worry, though? Because, you know, you can't control emotions. You don't, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. Do you ever worry that if you and your wife or girlfriend or partner swing with somebody that maybe you might end up more attracted even emotionally to the other person as opposed to your current partner and vice versa? Like if you swing with a dude, maybe she's like, hey, I like that guy emotionally and he's got a bigger hog. So I think I'm, you know, does that worry you?
I think if that sort of thing was going to develop, I think it would develop whether it was an open relationship or not. The thing for me is I feel safer that way, and there's no one that can be more attractive than the person that I'm with, because the most attractive thing that I recognize is confidence. It's not looks, it's not anything else. If someone's confident enough to go to the bar with me, pick up a chick, bring her back, and have some fun for the night, that's the sexiest thing that I can imagine. Not looks, not size of the breasts, and nothing else. The sexiest thing for me is confidence. So if I'm with someone and they're open and trusting and confident enough in our relationship to be able to do that, and then, you know, they're having fun as well. I'm having a bit of fun. They don't need to go out and find anything else when I'm not there.
Waz, how many threesomes do you think you've had in your lifetime?
Wow.
Oh, my God. You have to pause and think about it? I hate you. I hate you so much. He's like,
I mean, I wouldn't be able to put an absolute number on it. I'd say it'd be more than 40 and less than 60.
Oh, kiss my ass. 40? Wow.
Now, more than 40, but less than 60 would be pretty accurate, I'd say.
Okay, so 50 on average. Now, how many of those involve two chicks?
Probably three quarters of that would be two chicks. And the others were would be another guy.
Y'all making a wobbly H. Okay. No? Well, now, do you have a preference? Do you prefer to have the threesome with or swing with just a single, like, you know, you and your partner and another chick, you and your partner and another dude, or you and your partner and another couple? Is there a preference that you have and that maybe your other partners have had?
Oh, I don't necessarily have a preference. I enjoy different aspects of both. Obviously, physically, it's amazing having two chicks there.
I bet.
But I also get off on watching chicks get off. So,
okay,
you know, I do enjoy that aspect. I never do anything with the other guys. That's not my thing.
I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever been a cuck in the bedroom? Have you ever done that?
I've taken a break and sat in the corner because I was tired before.
Oh, was. All right. Well, I guess if you've had 50 threesomes, you're going to get tired.
Go get a beer and sit in the corner and watch.
Wow. I don't know about that. I'd go make a sandwich or something and come back later, but to each their own, I guess.
Waz, I got to ask, though. Go ahead, Waz. What were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is I'm obviously not trying to convince everyone that I'm right and they're wrong. Everyone's got their own limits. Everyone's got their own zone that they're comfortable in. I just like people accepting the fact that there's different people, and just because they're different, they're not wrong.
Look, if you're saying you're not, you're not trying to tell people you're right, you probably are going to have a lot of people thinking you're right if you could convince them that they could have 40-plus threesomes with two chicks. You might be sexual Jesus at this point. They'll just follow you wherever you go. So,
I got to ask, though, Waz, considering you're from another part of the world, do you find the swinging culture different from where you're from in Australia to here in the States? Did you participate in swinging in both countries? Do you find one more fascinating than the other? What are your thoughts on that?
It's easier over here to find people. It's a little bit more difficult in Australia. I think America's a little bit more progressed as far as this sort of stuff goes. So it's definitely easier over here. Now, whether that's because I've got an accent, which makes it easier for me to find people. Typically, to find a single chick who's willing to jump in bed with a couple, it's not the easiest thing in the world. That's why they call them unicorns. But I've had a lot more success over here than I did back home, for sure.
Well, Waz, this was fascinating. Yeah, we talked stuff, about man. This a couple of days ago. I appreciate you joining us. Stay away from my wife. And
tell her to stop messaging me.
Outstanding, Waz. Thank you so much, man. This was very educational. Go live your best life, Waz. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for the time.
All right. Hey, I got to tell the guys, the peeps, actually, about my bookie right now. You know, football is in full swing. And if you want to get action on the games, huh? See, that's a professional transition. If you want to get action on the games, then no better place to do that on the internet than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. They've got odds in all the games. They've got all the prop bets that you could want. More prop bets than any other sports book out there. They've got the parlays, the teasers, everything that you want to do when it comes to sports action. But here's the catch. There's no catch. I mean, here's the deal. Nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. It's true. You're going to get your cash when you want it. No questions asked. Look, now they're going to verify it's you. They're going to make sure that somebody else isn't trying to get your money. And that's good. You want them to make sure that they're sending your money to the right person. But these other places that are online, they give you the runaround. They slow play. It could take you months and months and months to get your money out of them. Not with MyBookie. They're going to pay you when you want it, and nobody pays you faster. It's super important to remember that. Listen, if you go with a no-name sports book, that's the real gamble. It's not putting money on a sports team. It's, hey, am I going to get my money out? And is it safe? Is it secure? What's going on over there? Don't go with a no-name sports book. Go with the best, and that's MyBookie. And right now, when you sign up, they're going to double your first deposit. All you have to do is put in promo code radio, and they will double your first deposit up to $1,000. Yo, that's free money. Don't pass that up. You could take that, do some more bets. It's great, man. Right now, go log on mybookie.ag, put in promo code radio, because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No!
nothing like a good Wisconsin band to tighten you right up, bring you back into the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday on the usual suspects.
That was a fascinating conversation. I could have done that for several more segments. Trust me.
And he seems like he's got a good personality, too. Obviously, right back from the start.
Funny dude.
Yeah, and finished strong. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit of an aspiring comic podcaster. He has jokes for days.
Okay.
He can dish it. He can take it.
Yeah.
Nothing really offends him.
No, I mean, that was great. I'm serious, though. I was very disappointed at how mature that whole conversation was.
Yeah, because he is, as funny as it is, and to some, maybe even uncomfortable, he's genuine. Like, he's serious about the situation.
You
he
can
has
tell.
He has a justification for it. I don't know if justification is the right word, but
no,
he explains his reasoning behind it.
Stalker Brian tweeted us and said, "I'd just like to say that if there's a nice young lady that's out there looking for this type of relationship, I am physically and emotionally available. Please DM me." I was like, bro,
you gotta
change your name from Stalker Brian first if you're going to try to ask a chick to do that. That's just, you just come across as a weirdo.
What would be the first turnoff a woman had when trying to seduce her for the first time? The fact that you bring up swinging, as you mentioned with Waz, or that your Twitter handle is Stalker Brian. Bye. Yeah,
not gonna work.
Stalk somebody else. I'm out.
Now, do you have this audio ready to go?
I do not. We want to do it here.
Yeah, I want to introduce the people to the Wichita Gilbert. We promised it at 2:45, and don't worry, 3 o'clock we're going to talk college football. The rankings are out. They came out last night. Did you happen to watch it?
I did.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it was part of the basketball game.
I didn't watch it. Oh, the college basketball
games? Yes, the in-between games.
You were already
halftime,
watching
was,
college basketball?
What is it? Number one, number two, number three, and number four all playing last night in the same arena?
Yeah, number one, two, three, and four.
I watched it.
Week one of the season.
You watched yourself fall asleep playing video games. No, I didn't watch college basketball.
I myself fall asleep. I just fell asleep. What am I? Having outer body experiences?
It's possible.
No. But
depends
college
on,
basketball?
Depends on
in
your
week
medication.
One? Yeah. Week one college basketball. That's too soon, Joseph. You need an intervention.
Barry, if it was...
You need an intervention.
If it was Mother Teresa's College of the Islands against, like, Villanova. But if it's Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State in a doubleheader, yeah, I'm watching.
No, that doesn't seem right to me. Not in week one. By the way, when I went out there, I was going to go try to get a drink, and Aaron... goes, "Hey, good luck having that conversation with Nora tonight." So, what y'all talk about on the show? Babe, do you like guys with Australian accents? I was like, yeah, it's going
to
be
he
really
said the same thing to me. Like, is that going to come up later?
That'll be something that doesn't get mentioned. And then there's this, some dude, Sports Geek 89. First of all, he tweeted us and said, where the hell did he go? Oh, damn it. Look at Barry and Pac-Man Joel educating the masses on swinging. The one thing I'd never thought I'd hear on the radio. And I was like, yeah, that's what we do. Then he texts his wife, "Hey, let's start swinging." Laughy face, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. The response, LOL, no. So, hey, you know what? He shot a shot. Good for you. If it would have happened, look at us changing lives. Okay. Now, are we good? Okay. So when I was in Wichita, I was waiting to go on their afternoon drive show and talk about Houston and the Astros. And I was listening to a caller call in. And I swear to you, for a good 30 seconds at the end of the call, well, not a good 30 seconds, but that's probably how long the call is. But for a good 5 to 7 seconds, I was like, that sounds exactly like Gilbert that calls the bench, that calls Granado all the time, that is in our promos on this station, as you mentioned.
Yep.
And I wanted to get, so what I did is I rushed to the speaker and recorded this with my phone. So if the audio is not great, then you'll have to excuse me, because I recorded it from my phone's microphone out of an Alexa speaker in their lobby. All right. Mm-hmm. But this is what the Wichita Gilbert sounded like.
Joe's with AD, son of a gun, about like this hole here. All right. Except it was going around.
All right. Thanks for the call.
It was a simpler thing.
We appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
What about Alec? Are we going to let him play another year?
We'll address Alex that. Gordon? We appreciate the call.
Does that not sound... What about Alex? What about Alex? Does that not sound exactly like Gilbert?
It sounds pretty damn close.
It is pretty close.
That freaked me. I was like, oh my God, Gilbert's in Wichita. What is happening? Or he's calling Wichita. There's no way he rode his bike to Wichita, though.
That is definitely the Wichita version of Gilbert.
Very much so. Now, I don't know if that guy rides a bike or if he's trying to pick up John Granato's wife or not.
Right.
But I swear, when he started stuttering like that towards the end, it sounded awfully
and the
like,
way he like they, whenever they try and push him off the air, he has one more things to one more thing to say. Hey, John, isn't that what Wendy said? Anyways, and then you can't get rid of him.
Yeah, can you just do the last part, Nick?
We appreciate it. Good luck.
What about Alec? What about Alec? We gonna let him play another year?
Right there. I that mean, end that part, yeah. Sounds so much like Wichita Gilbert. That's creepy. I guess there's a Gilbert in every market, huh?
Oh yeah, more than
what
one.
What about Alec? We gonna let him play another year?
I know what you meant. You ain't right.
Yep.
Right. Good times. All right. So we've established that you watched the selection committee's rankings last night. So we'll talk about that next.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
We'll start hour number three with sports involving college football and the football rankings that came out last night. Don't go anywhere. It's the final hour of the show. Coming up next, it's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.